5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Overtime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Overtime, your weekly source for all things Overwatch. I'm your host, Jacob Hujic, and with me today is Brandon Williams.
I am a disgusting human being.
And Taylor Severn.
I'm great.
So, we're back. It's been a week since our last episode. How have you guys been doing in Overwatch?
I don't think I've played, but I played. I played the new Oasis map, and it was fun. I didn't win, though.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to...
And yet you said you had fun? Much. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but it was my first time on the map, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And that was it.
I haven't won on the map yet.
It was in quick play, so... Yeah.
That's pretty good. Taylor, what about you?
No one's wanted to play Overwatch with me, so I haven't played Overwatch. That's simple as
that. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
I haven't...
Again, he got him.
That's the second time.
2 days in a row. It's amazing. Well done.
As for myself, I've been stupidly busy at work, so I haven't had a chance to play anything, actually, for quite some days now. I'm actually surprised I'm not suffering withdrawals, but...
That's what you have the podcast for.
Exactly. I just get to talk about games instead of playing them.
We're Gamers Anonymous, except we're not that anonymous. Except no one listens to us, so we're pretty
And apparently
anonymous.
We're not gamers.
We just talk about the games.
Yeah. But yeah, also, completely separate side note, Nintendo Switch news is going to be happening like in a couple hours. Super stoked about that. So, to those listening, when this comes out, tell me what you think about that. But yeah, back
it's
to Overwatch.
So irrelevant.
I'm just excited. I want it, okay? But yes, as for Overwatch news, there hasn't been a whole bunch, so we may as well just end up talking about the Switch today.
Jesus. Overtime,
but a quick rundown of the news is PTR was updated.
Slightly.
And that's the news.
They changed some ones to some zeros.
We'll run through the PTR update presently. From last week.
That is the worst way to say that.
It's a word.
You also forgot to mention.
And they used presently.
You also forgot to mention that loot boxes are so much easier to buy now.
What do you mean?
They added a whole bunch of different payment options.
Oh, have they?
They did.
I didn't know about that. I've never had the urge
to use
for
Bitcoin.
Loot box.
I have never. Yep. Probably not an option, but it'd be interesting.
Can I pay them in back rubs?
You could.
Yes. I am. I have a large stockpile of back rubs that I'm willing to trade for certain skins.
Back rubs and hugs are now currencies?
I mean, with Jeff Kaplan, it was only a matter of time before that happened.
Yep.
I did not hear about that. That is, I'm sure, exciting news to some.
People who like to buy things, yep. I like to buy things, just not loot boxes.
I like to buy things, but I'm very specific with with how I buy things, and so it's good Blizzard's catering to me.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just... I don't think they had PayPal support before.
Mm-hmm.
And now they do.
That's truly...
Boom, Giada.
Wonderful.
And that's the news,
guys. So, back to the PTR notes. Back to the PTR notes. Their last kind of PTR update was led to a lot of controversy within the community. People were worried that Roadhog's hook in particular... was going to be nerfed into the ground. Some people were rejoiced about this, and mostly Roadhog mains were quite angry at this. So they've kind of reworked how it works. Unfortunately, as we are an audio podcast, going into the specifics of this might get a little bit tricky, but more or less, they're just going to add an extra check to when the hook pulls you. So it will kind of, how they want it to work is that if you're halfway between cover, you'll still get hooked. But if you're completely hidden, you won't get hooked, is kind of what they want. They are
to
also
sum
going
it up,
to implement...
basically, you're doing a horrible job of this, is little things won't stop you now. Like a pole. You'll still get hooked if you're hiding behind a pole. You can't use those to unhook yourself now. You have to, it has to be large chunks of things you're hiding behind.
It has to be a significant piece of geometry. Alrighty.
Yeah, that's what it's saying. But I think the big change is that if you get hooked, like, there's a half a second where you can, like, still, like, move with your momentum, you will now be slow during that, so you can't be a Lucio and just, like, kind of skate back and forth between
or a Pharah
things. And or Pharah, like, escape stuff. Kind of like that.
All right.
So now you'll be slowed, so if you do get hooked, there's a likelier chance you will still get pulled.
Okay, these patch notes make a lot more sense to me now. I'm very tired, so cognitive functions in Jacob's brain, which are already pretty limited, not doing so great today. Okay, and they're also going to fix a bug that allowed you to hook someone and pull them behind you if you spun around before the hook landed.
Oh, that's amazing.
Don't know how someone could have used that to their advantage, but sure.
If you
pull them behind you, okay, I get it. See,
come
brain.
On.
Brain's
come
a little slow today.
That's
actually pretty good. Do a 180 and suddenly they're behind your fat body as Roadhog. That's actually awesome.
No, Jacob. You stand at a ledge and you pull them off the ledge. That's what you do.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, you can't do that in the newest iteration of the PTR.
Shucks.
I will stress that again. This is just PTR. None of these changes are in the live game yet. There has been another character that was changed, and that was Ana. Her biotic grenade duration was reduced from 5 to 4, so last round of PTR patches, they kind of nerfed her a little bit, because she was seeing a lot of play in competitive, and especially tournament play.
Healing's too strong. So, they gotta just smack her hand and be like, no more healing.
Yeah, specifically the biotic grenade, it seems to be like, this is providing too much burst healing. Again, I don't think that this is a change that's going to affect lower leagues of play, basically normal levels of play, but this will decrease her usage in higher levels, which I think is good, because she's in basically every game right now.
Cutting some excess power off of her, trimming the fat.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it. The last character that received any changes in this PTR patch was Sombra. And this is something that people have. Some people, including Taylor, seem to be very excited about. And that change was the hack cooldown was reduced from 12 seconds to 8 seconds, which means every 8 seconds you can hack somebody or something.
I mean, it'd be great if it had no cooldown, but whatever. I'm fine with
it. I've heard people online saying that they were extremely happy about this change because it's hacking is such a core part of her kit. Her damage is so low that unless she has hacked somebody, it's a little bit dangerous for her to engage. I mean, she does usually get the drop on somebody because she can go behind enemy lines and stealth. But again, her DPS, which I think is one of the lowest in the game, prevents her from just one-shotting people and like doing very well in a one-on-one unless she hacks them. And the fact that the cooldown on this is being lowered a little bit brings it in line to kind of how she flows in a fight. And Taylor, I know you've been playing a lot of Sombra. What do you think about this? Obviously, it's good for you, but...
I will say, I never hack anything outside of medkits, really.
Really?
Yeah. At first, when I started playing Sombra, I did not hack anybody either. I just hacked the medkits. And I really didn't have a problem with Sombra's DPS, but...
I'm mostly like hit and run.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing, was like, get the kill, get out.
I don't even get the kill, I'm just there to annoy you. I'm like, hey, I'm here.
Like, there was a few times where I could rip through Roadhog's health before he's even like done a significant amount of damage to me.
That's surprising to me, actually. That's quite surprising.
On Hanamura, I really love if you're defending and they're at that first choke point at the gate and running behind that little town area that they come from and just annoying them and having all the medkits hacked. It makes it so hard to break.
That is something I really want people to realize when they play Sombra. Like, hacking the people's medkits when they're trying to attack or defend. Like, you don't realize how much you rely on those until they're gone.
Or if you play Sombra and you just camp a medkit and you're just like, this is my mercy.
You're a horrible person.
My own personal mercy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely recommend trying to hack people right before you engage.
Yeah, I do it now.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Break stealth with your hack, not with your gun.
Yep.
You are at such an advantage, especially against certain characters like tanks, if you start the fight with them not being able to use abilities. You will crush them, honestly. So many of the tanks rely on their abilities for their damage mitigation and for everything they do, that if they don't have access to that, they're completely screwed.
I will say, so, one of the major reasons I didn't hack people in a fight is because my right click was broken, very unreliable. And so
that's true. I forgot that. How's the new mouse, by the way?
It's working. It's working.
That's good. That's good.
It's blue.
It is very blue. I really like that mouse. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the PTR patch notes. Also, Jeff Kaplan was on the horn recently saying that, like, PTR is played by very, very few people, and not for very, very long for those that do play it. So he was urging the community to go out on PTR, try out these changes, and give your feedback. I know PTR in the past, for Blizzard as a whole, over the all their different games, was often just used to check bugs. It seems like Overwatch, especially recently, has been much more focused on using PTR as a balance testing playground. Yeah. So you will have a much bigger impact now. Like, if you have an opinion on Roadhog's Hook or any of these changes in the game, go test them out and leave your feedback on their forums, because they are listening and they are looking for that feedback, where potentially in the past they haven't actually cared so much.
Or go post on Reddit, because I've got a
lot of
good notice that they will see it on Reddit.
Oh yeah, the Overwatch developers crawl through Reddit quite frequently. So that's pretty much it for the news. There was some smaller pieces, which included the fact that the Oasis blackboard will now rotate when you shoot it, which is fantastic for anyone who is on that map and waiting to get started.
I just want to point out, the blackboards are friggin' amazing.
Right?
I think you were with me, and yes, we had the blackboard spinning so fast.
There was three of us. It was you, me, and Marcin, and we were just unloading on this blackboard. And honestly, I think there might have been two blackboards. That's how fast it was.
Yeah,
it
was crazy.
It was fun. So yeah, you can now do that on Oasis, which I know people have been jokingly complaining about. So the Oasis is now playable because you can spin the blackboard.
I highly suggest spinning the blackboard. If you don't spin it at least 100 times, guaranteed to lose the game.
I hear that if you spin it 100 or 1,000,001 times, then you unlock the secret Cal level.
Get out.
Last minor bit of news is the fact that about 10,000 players were banned recently.
For playing Sombra.
Kind of in the wake of the...
too much hacking.
Yes, basically.
Playing Sombra too much.
There was a widely used hack, mostly used in Korea, which is known as nuking. Basically, the strategy was that...
That would be a Korean hack.
What?
Nuking.
Starkers,
oh, North Korea. I get it. Okay, that wasn't actually that bad.
Come on!
No, that was pretty good. That was really good. But yes, the basic strategy behind the hack was that it would send huge packets of data to your computer, effectively slowing down the game so much that you couldn't do anything, not even report the players. That's how slow your game would become.
Ow.
This was very, very prevalent in Korea because of PC bongs, which are basically cafes where you can sit down and play video games. You pay, you know, for minutes or hours, and you have access to a game that's completely unlocked, so all the skins and stuff for various games. And you can kind of use your own profile. And many of these places give players administrator rights to the machine. I don't know why. That sounds very, very stupid. But they do, which allows them to use many different hacks, often consequence-free because it's just a free account. So Overwatch has kind of been rife with these issues in Korea. Not so much here, but some of these hacks are present. And Blizzard's kind of general strategy for hacks dating back from the StarCraft II days is to do them in waves. They'll wait several weeks or months, collect a whole bunch of people who have been hacking, and then ban them all out at the same time. The reason they do this is because this makes it kind of obscures from the hack developers what particular bit in their code triggered Blizzard. It makes them so they don't always know what part of their hack got Blizzard's attention, which means it's harder to develop hacks for Blizzard. Unfortunately, it also means that people have to wait for a long time when there is a very prevalent hack for Blizzard to do anything about it, which is a little bit unfortunate. But this has now been, I won't say dealt with, but many people have been banned. Unfortunately, because of the way the PC bongs in Korea work, it is unlikely that this will be a permanent solution, but hopefully in the rest of the world this will kind of get less people hacking.
Nah. I'll still play Sombra.
Same. Axe for life, bro.
10,000 Sombra mains were banned recently.
And I mean, every time I play, like, Soldier 76, I get aim hacks sometimes. It's weird.
Every now and then. You only turn it on every now and then so people don't get suspicious.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's triggering it, so I gotta find which program I'm using, which one of my hacks is activating there.
Yeah, every now and then you just roll your face over the keyboard, stuff happens. It's great.
Yeah.
And I believe that's pretty much it for the news. So I think it's finally time to get back on our character discussions.
Oh, we still do that?
We do still do that, because we really haven't finished them yet. Not really. It's been a while, and they've been sporadic at best. However, seeing as it is a particularly late news day, why not bring it back? And it's one of our favorite characters, so I was really excited to do this one.
Now, speaking for all of us.
Well,
two-thirds.
That's not...
Majority wins, man. We are, of course, talking about Symmetra...
RIP.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. This has been Overwatch. Overtime. Oh, man. I want to go to bed. We're talking about Zarya. Zarya, not Symmetra. That would be a stupid thing to say. We're talking about Zarya.
We'll never talk about Symmetra.
Lady.
Yeah, it's never going to get that far.
By the time we got talked to her, she may or may not be nerfed. Or
she may or may not
sniper,
be in the game anymore.
Whichever. But Zarya is in the game. She is a tank. She's a character in the game. And she actually has the same name as my new nephew.
No way!
Yeah, but yeah. My cousin just had a wonderful baby boy. Like, literally, he's 24 hours old.
Yep.
His life is measured in hours. That's how fresh he is. And his name is Alexander. And Zarya's actual name is Alexandria. Or Alexandra. So, pretty close.
Yeah, you hyped it up and then dashed
yeah.
it. And then it fell on my face.
I literally thought it was actually Zarya.
It's the same spelling except for like the last two letters.
Well,
I will always call your nephew Zarya now.
Yep.
It has the same letters, actually. The R and the A are just flipped. Like, it's the same. It's so close. Anyways.
Your cousin's the worst, not naming their children after Overwatch.
I know, right? It's like she doesn't even play Overwatch.
It's should have named her son Lucio.
Second. But yes, Zarya is a tank character in the game. And her abilities are as follows. Her basic weapon is the particle cannon, the left click of which fires a pinpoint laser to about a medium distance. I'm sure I could find the exact range.
I feel like that range has been increased lately.
It hasn't.
I know, but I it feels like it. Changed. No, like, I know it hasn't, but every time I go up against a Zarya and they're beaming me and I'm like, really? You can hit me from that far away?
The range is actually about 16 meters is the maximum range. There is no damage drop off to it. And it is affected by Zarya's kind of passive ability, which is the fact that whenever she uses one of her shields, shield abilities, which we'll discuss in a second, the amount of damage they absorb kind of goes into a pool, into an energy pool on her, and she does more damage with both her particle cannon, left click, and her right click. Her right click shoots a grenade, basically. It kind of lobs it in an arcing pattern. And it will do more damage as she has more energy.
Does a boatload of area effect damage.
Yeah, it can be quite powerful when she's at 100% damage. Another interesting thing with her left click, her main attack, the pinpoint laser, is the fact that it doesn't have any spread. If you're good at tracking and you can keep them at a short distance, you will just melt some people, especially at high energy with Zarya. So she is definitely, while she is a tank, she is definitely much more
aggressive.
Yes, than some of the other characters.
What?
Roadhog can pull people in, and Winston can kill squishies, but Zarya really, really can be played almost as a DPS character.
You have to be careful with that, though.
Yes, because in a trade-off to this, she has the lowest health pool. No. Yes.
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 Lowest health pool of all the tanks. At 400. Half of that is quickly regenerating barriers, which means you can kind of get in and out of combat, which works well with her abilities, first of which is Particle Barrier. So the Particle Barrier is kind of a self-shield. She becomes invulnerable, actually. Well, not invulnerable. It's a 200-point barrier that goes around her, and it lasts for 2 seconds. Whichever one kind of happens first, 200 damage happens, or 2 seconds happens, it will kind of break it. And any of the damage she absorbs during that period will be converted into energy for her weapons. The cooldown is about 10 seconds, and this is basically her main tanking ability. She can run into almost anything for a couple seconds and feel almost invincible, and making her stronger as well. However, if this ability is on cooldown, she isn't much of a tank. She isn't a Roadhog who can just sit there taking bullets and then healing up through it, or a Reinhardt who can put a shield up and just keep fire away from his teammates. She can only absorb it for a little bit. But her second ability does augment this a little bit. Projected Barrier actually puts a similar shield on one of her allies. And this converts anyone on your team into a tank, ostensibly, for a few seconds. So it is, again, 200 health on the barrier, 2-second duration, and it actually has a shorter cooldown, so you can use this much more frequently on your allies than you can on yourself, which I think is an interesting mechanic. And this is very, very useful for setting up combos. You can use it on the Reaper when he's ulting to kind of make him have more health. Same with the Pharah who's ulting. You kind of get the idea. It also works well with tanks who don't have damage mitigation, chiefly Roadhog. Roadhog just sits there, takes a bunch of damage. If you throw this out on him, not only is he being shielded for much of the damage, you are getting a lot of energy from it. And her final ability is her ultimate, which is Graviton Surge. You lob kind of like a particle grenade, but it's a black hole, really.
Just sucks everything into it.
Yeah, it kind of goes in an arc. It'll stick to whatever surface it hits first, it'll stick to it, and it'll pull people, enemies, towards it and keep them there for the duration of 4 seconds. And it's about a 9-meter radius.
The pull? Probably, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So it doesn't really do any damage by itself. It does a small, tiny bit of damage, but you're not gonna kill anyone with it. But what it sets up is your teammates, who can now fire on all these clustered enemies, or if they have a big area of effect damaging ability or ultimate specifically, it can wipe out teams. So she definitely is a like a setup character, an enabler for her team. You wouldn't use her as a solo tank, but as a secondary tank, especially with, again, Roadhog, D.Va,
any other tank, like really. You can really use Zarya in almost any situation with the second tank.
You can honestly run her as a solo tank if she is with people who have
high health pools.
High health pools. So people like Mei, Reaper, even Soldier because of his health,
his heal,
self-sustain ability.
Yep.
Characters like that who kind of thrive in the front, maybe the midline, can really shine once you have a Zarya on your team.
You'd have to have a really divey team to have Zarya as your solo tank.
Yes. So, Brandon, I know you at one point considered Zarya your main character.
I still
do. Are there any tips and strategies? Oh, okay.
Still
are there any tips and strategies that you would kind of impart on people?
Well, putting me on the spot here. Jeez. Honestly, just like it's all about playing conservatively at the start, like throwing in your projected barriers and just like figuring out who's on the enemy team that can do the most damage to you as quick as possible and try to time their abilities and force them to use them on you.
When you're shielded.
When you're shielded, yeah. Yeah, correct. That way you can get to 100% power as quick as possible. Like, if they have an enemy Reinhardt, and he shoots out his E, I don't know what the name of it
fire
is,
strike.
His Fire Strike, get in front of that and let it hit you. Just take it, like, throw your shield up and take that shot. Because that will get you from 0 to 75, I think, with just that. And I'm sure if you put yourself out there after taking that, everyone else is going to shoot at you, because some people just don't realize that shield increases the damage of Zarya.
Yes.
Like, a lot of people don't get that.
That is,
which
kind
is good.
Of her whole mechanic.
Yeah, which is good for Zarya players.
And it's actually funny because playing as a Zarya, you kind of... It's funny when you see different levels of people's skill and knowledge of the game. Like, you'll get the people who... you pop your shield and they just keep shooting. You'll get the people who, when you pop your shield,
they stop shooting and they try to run away.
They either run away or they kind of look around for another target. And they're not just, they don't do anything. And then at the highest level, you see people who will see you pop it, continue to lay down fire on you. Then it expires and you die.
Yeah.
Because they know exactly how much damage they can put out and that they can beat you.
Yep.
So it is kind of a cat and mouse kind of game as to whether the Zarya player is at full charge or not. Like Brandon said, you want to play conservatively, build up that charge. Once you're at 100, once you're above 80% charge, you can kind of go in there and go ham.
Oh yeah,
you do
and
a lot of damage.
At first, when I was playing Zarya, I thought the graviton grenades, I thought they were the most powerful. But I don't know if something changed or not. But when you're at full charge and you just beam, like, you just wreck the field.
Yeah, that beam, it is only single target. Like, the particle grenade in a splash damage sense will do more damage, but
yeah,
on a single target, that beam at high charge is nuts. You melt people.
Well, if
especially
you can move around fast
no
enough,
spread,
like sway between characters, you can do quite a bit of damage with that beam.
Mm-hmm.
All in one.
So yeah, kind of another trick to Zarya is get in, like when your personal barrier is off of cooldown, get in there, get loud. As soon as you start taking damage, pop it, and when it goes away, retreat unless you're at high charge.
I mean, unless, yeah, if you're at high charge, then just throw your projected barrier on someone else that's with you.
Exactly.
And just keep going ham, because you'll keep that charge.
Yep.
And sometimes they tend to focus
decay
on another character by then, so.
And try using it, again, on, like I gave that example, on that Reaper who's going into the back line to alt or just to take out a specific character, on that Sombra who's way in the back line, or that Genji. It can give them an unexpected survivability.
If someone gets charged by Reinhardt, throw that shield on them. Because it's going to last until Reinhardt hits him into the wall. That's one of my favorite counters to Reinhardt's charge.
Yeah, it feels great when you can completely negate someone's high cooldown ability just by using that projected barrier.
And then you got another five people to take out one tank, and he just melts.
Yep. Another thing with that is you can use that. You can use Zarya's barriers, both of them, to negate crowd control effects, namely Mei. Mei's slow, it will be completely negated once you use a shield. So if someone is being slowly frozen, or yourself is being slowly frozen by a Mei, use that shield and you can walk away. Or build up charge and kind of deal with her.
Mei's a tricky character to deal with Zarya. Because that shield does negate the freeze, but if Mei is in close enough proximity, she can keep up with your speed, and it's game over.
Oh yeah, no, like unless you can get back to your team very, very quickly, like before the shield expires, you have to kill her.
Yeah.
But it does let you save a teammate from being frozen and just, you know, comboed with Mei, or if she uses her ultimate and one or two people get caught in it, you can at least save one of them, which is very, very nice. Well, yourself and someone else, which is nice. And I often save it for just that occasion. I can't think of any other movement and pairing abilities that kind of work with that. I know there's at least one more, but Mei is the big one for sure. She, like I said before, is a really good setup character. She combos well with other people. Use that Graviton Surge to group enemies together. Again, D.Va, another great combo with her. You get everyone close together, and then they can't do anything. They can't run away. D.Va launches in her nuke and blows everyone up. It can be pretty nuts. One other thing I would like to mention is when you are using her in a dual tank setting, characters like Reinhardt or D.Va aren't... They definitely have some synergy together, but because Reinhardt can put up his shield, Winston can put up his barrier, and D.Va can use her defense matrix that kind of negate damage from enemies, you want to be coordinating with them. You want to wait until D.Va isn't using her defense matrix because it's on cooldown, or she just isn't using it. You want to use it when his shields are down or he's doing a fire strike.
Generally, when I'm Zarya and I have a Reinhardt or a D.Va on my team, I tend to kind of ignore them a little bit with the barriers, unless if they just run in there and go ham.
Yeah, because they have their own damage mitigation.
Right, yeah. I mean, Reinhardt will only shield if he's basically in there, like, just hammering on someone. And D.Va, I tend to not really worry about. Unless if you're on, like, I don't know, a capture the point map or something, and teams are fighting to get that first point. That's when I try to keep the tank's health high.
I'll use it on a D.Va when she's kind of gone deep.
Yep.
Because even if she is using her defense matrix, that's only from one direction. If she's kind of gotten herself in a bad position, people are shooting her from behind, and you can kind of use it then.
Yeah.
But like I said at the beginning, the easiest one to get started with, like just a super simple pairing, is Zarya and Roadhog.
Oh yeah.
Roadhog does not have any damage mitigation. He, again, is a huge, huge target. You can build up so much charge very easily, like in a quick match setting with no coordination. Very, very easily, because he'll sit there taking all this damage, heal himself up through all of it, and then you just put the shield on him, and you're just giving him more health, you're building charge. It's a perfect combination. So that's something definitely I would suggest. Are there any ways you have been countered as Zarya that you'd like to share?
No.
Sorry, what?
Just 100% win rate as Zarya.
What are some good counters to Zarya?
Oh, okay. I thought you said something completely different. My bad. Good counters? Well, Mei, in my opinion. Because I don't know why. Mei just gets me. Mei gets me. There's also Hanzo getting those lucky shots into the back line.
Well, that's just Hanzo.
That's true.
Hanzo counters anyone he kills.
Yeah, you're right. He's also annoying and I hate him.
He's great.
You know, I don't know, maybe Pharah? She's definitely tough to hit with those bombs.
Exactly.
And but I've done it, and it's amazing Zarya. When you do.
Hit them with a pearl grenade?
I've taken out a Pharah awesome. With a grenade. Oh, it was so accomplishing.
Yeah, anyone who can kind of engage Zarya at long range gives her trouble, because, again, her laser, regardless of how much charge it has, will only go about the 16 meters, which isn't super, super far. So any snipers can harass her, even if they won't kill her, and force her to take cover. Because most of her health is shields, Sombra is actually also a good counter with her ult and her hacking, which completely disables Zarya's abilities, which takes away her ability to tank. And then some different harassing characters like Tracer, anyone who's very, very fast like her. It can be hard unless you're good at aiming, which some Zaryas are, but unless you're very, very good at aiming, keeping your laser on Tracer when she's darting around can be very, very difficult. And other than that, if you're facing a Tracer out of whatever character, try not to shoot her when her shields are up, but if you're confident you can kill her quickly, especially when Zarya's at full charge, she kind of glows. She has this like electrical sparky effect going on around her. If you see that, she can, again, watch out. She can put out a lot of damage. But before that point, even if you're just unloading on her while her shields are up, as long as you keep doing that once they go down, she will fall pretty quickly. If you have a good amount of damage, like Reaper. Just engage on her, try not to shoot her when the shields are up, and then you can unload and take her down pretty quick. Another thing, last thing we'll mention about her, is her Graviton Surge. The Graviton Surge will keep anyone, like we said, any enemies, they'll get sucked into it. There are several characters who can get out of it. Reaper can Wraith form away. I believe Reinhardt can charge out of it.
Yep.
Tracer can blink or recall out of it. Are there any other characters?
Sombra can teleport out of it.
Sombra. Yeah.
Yes. Can D.Va sprint out of it? I can't remember.
If she sprints, think. I guess.
It's not sprint, sorry. If her boost, can she boost out of it?
Pretty sure. I haven't been caught in one in a while.
Yeah.
Playing D.Va.
Because no one really plays Zarya.
She did have a big surge, and she is used fairly frequently in the tournament scene because, again, of her synergy.
You could maybe even call it a Graviton Surge.
in kind of like the more normal levels of play, she was around for a while. They kind of nerfed her. That Fire Strike thing you were mentioning actually was one of the causes of that. Any ability, namely Fire Strike and Hanzo's ultimate, they would kind of go through barriers and do damage to people behind it. Due to how Zarya's thing worked, basically it was damaging the barrier twice as it passed, which was why she got so much charge from those abilities. That no longer happens.
You still get quite a big charge from it.
You can still get, yes, the Fire Strike does a lot of damage. I think it's 75, so
I'm pretty sure
exactly what the math is on the damage to energy conversion. Let me just see if I can look that up quickly.
I mean, that'd probably be something good to have for the podcast.
I have it right here. It is 1 point of energy per 5 points of damage absorbed. So there you go.
Jacob's the third guy this time.
I like Zarya. I have a couple notes set up, and I know what I'm talking.
You just have a cheat sheet off to the side to always look at Zarya. I also do have a
cheat sheet. I'm literally looking at a cheat sheet right now of Zarya's stats. But yeah, that's pretty much Zarya. Taylor, did you want to inform us a little bit on her story?
When she was a little girl, she wanted to be like super strong, and she wanted to go do the summer games. The Olympics doesn't exist anymore in Overwatch Universe. The Omnics destroyed that. And so now they just have like the summer games, sometimes the winter games. We haven't seen them yet, but they probably exist. And so she became a bodybuilder and lifted like all the dead Omnics. And that's how they measure weights in the Overwatch universe. How many dead Omnics can you lift? Instead of like how much can you press bench press. It's pretty much the same thing, but I mean, Russians are weird with their hating of Omnics. And so, but then more bad stuff happened. The Omnic Crisis? Probably Omnic Crisis. It's always the Omnic Crisis.
Yes, it's always the Omnic Crisis. I think there's three of them at this point.
We're at varying stages of crises. And so then she got conscripted? Yeah. To join the army, and so they were like...
She wasn't conscripted, actually.
Oh, she was like, I want to do this. I want to save Mother Russia.
She was known as the world's strongest woman. She was an amazing bodybuilder. And she was, I believe, exempt from serving in the military because of this, but she decided to join up anyways because she wanted to serve and protect her country.
And she's Russian.
She's extremely Russian, yes.
Yeah, and so they like had this big mech suit, and then instead of going in the mech, she just ripped an arm off the mech and just used the gun.
It was actually a tank. It wasn't a mech.
Mech, tank, literally tell me the same difference. What is the difference between a mech and a tank?
One is bipedal, one has treads. I think that's about it.
Aren't that you have two treads though? It's bipedal.
What? No.
That's exactly what bipedal means.
Bipedal means you have.
Also, you can have a mech that has treads.
If this mech had two legs and its feet were treads, I would give it to you.
It could, we don't know. It could. Regardless,
honestly,
it's a mech.
That pretty much sums up Zarya. We don't know a whole lot about her.
And then Sombra happened, and then the person wants to be like, "Hey, Zarya," and she's like, "Yo," and that's her story.
Pretty much it. That's her only appearance outside of the game. She has not appeared in a comic or another animated short except for that one tiny bit at the end. I was so happy when that happened because Zarya is probably my favorite character in this game.
Like, I mean, nothing happened out of that, so, you know.
But we got to see her, which was amazing.
You know where else you could see her? In-game.
Speaking of in-game seeing Zarya... I know this is the worst tangent, but I don't care. Zarya's skins, I think she has like the worst collection of skins in the game because she doesn't have a good one.
I mean, yeah, they all kind of just change colors. And that's about it.
And one of the stupidest things about it is the fact that one of Zarya's most iconic features is her hair. She has this bright pink, short cut, spiked up hair, which I think looks awesome. And in all of her skins, especially all of her legendary skins, they either cover it up or change it. And it's so frustrating, because especially the Cybergoth skin, not a huge fan of all the spikes on it, but I think it's one of the cooler looking skins, except for the fact that they change her hair and they pull it down. It's like this weird, you know, kind of punky, emo-esque kind of hairdo. Had they just kept her hair, but made it black with, you know, highlights... would have been awesome. But yeah, even her summer game skin, which again looks pretty cool, gives her a ponytail. I kind of like the ponytail. I think it's very evocative of, you know, traditional Russian athletes.
Russian athletes all have ponytails.
No, but it kind of gives her just a more traditional look. Like when you think of Russian athletics, you think of like Cold War Olympics, where it was just like, you know, Russia and the United States, like trying to see who can get.
Is it bad when you said when you think of Russian Olympians? My first thought was like Putin in a jumpsuit.
My first thought was Drago, sorry, from Rocky IV. But yeah, in either case, I'm quite upset with her skins. Although,
because Jacob reduces female characters to only their hair. That's the only thing that matters about a female character, right?
Right, Jacob? No. Maybe. No.
I feel like we've had this exact discussion before.
Where I actually don't remember this one. I usually remember all the time that you've made fun of me, but this time I can't think of it.
I think it might have been during Summer Games where we were talking about our skins again.
Potentially. That was a long time ago. We've been on the air for quite a while now. It's impressive. But yeah,
it's almost like ever since Overwatch came out.
Something like that. Her Winter Wonderland skin I actually quite liked. I was making fun of it at first, but her gun is bright pink. And I just can't say no to that. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up Zarya, as well as our episode for today. So, if you liked what you heard here today, feel free to follow us on Twitter, which you can find us at OW Overtime at Twitter. OW underscore Overtime on Twitter. You can also reach us by email at owovertime@gmail.com. Please send anything you want us to read on the air, just a private message, whatever. We would love to hear from you guys. We also have a sister show called Press A to Podcast. We actually just recorded an episode yesterday. And that is a show where we review a different video game every episode. You can follow that show on Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch at Press A to Podcast. Twitch just has underscores instead of spaces. Last thing I wanted to mention was, if you like the show, please, please, please review it on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you're listening to this. Leave a review. 5-star reviews especially greatly help the show. If you don't want to do that, then just tell somebody about the show. Say, hey, you like Overwatch? Listen to Overtime. They do a thing. it would really help the show out. I'm really happy with how the show has kind of been progressing in terms of numbers and just quality. So feel free to kind of spread it. And speaking of quality of the show, we actually have an actual real thumbnail made by Taylor. I think it looks awesome. Really happy to have. Well, I'm really happy to have that now. It looks great. And yeah, hopefully the show is just going to keep growing. But that's it for us for this week. So for me, Brandon, and Taylor, we will see you guys next time.
Start.
And we will sing in 3, 2, 1, sync.
Had a minor meltdown, that was all.
That was a minor burp down. God, if only that was on the show, I would have named the episode.
Well, it was in my recording.
So you can put it at the end
of
the show.
I'll put it at the end. It'll be great. Okay, so we'll start the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.